your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
All right, welcome to Lacrosse Talk PM. Gonna have a presidential candidate on today. No big deal. Joe Biden. Nope. Donald Trump. Nope. Libertarian president for candidate Joe Jorgensen. It will be on in about 9 minutes. So if you have questions for the Libertarian presidential candidate, 608-785-7914. We'll not be taking calls during that time. So text me questions, 608-785-7914. Before we get to that, though, did you attend that rally last night? Did you read about it? I shared albums on the Wisdom Facebook page, a couple of stories. The police department put out what they essentially promised last night, right? They kind of made this pledge, or the mayor made a pledge to kind of make some changes within the city, within the city's police department. And Sean Coudron, the police chief, also did. If you didn't see that, but it's on the website right now, and I'm sure Brad will probably read this in a minute. But it's called Transparency in Policing. So if you go to wisdomnews.com, it's the main story on that page. You'll see Sean Coudron speaking to a crowd of, I guess, like 500, but it could have been more. There was so many people there, and in we started at Riverside Park and talked for a long time. So I think the crowd would have been bigger marching from Riverside Park down Second Street to City Hall had they not talked so long there. But the idea was to get as many speakers. They had quite a few speakers of people of color just talking about their personal issues or personal experiences with dealing with racism in the city. So like we often talk about if you go to the Facebook page and you know, there's probably four or five different posts, different videos, even just a picture. I think the lone picture it has the most comments, but you just get one naive voice on there saying, we don't have a problem with racism in Lacrosse. And then, you know, and then it just waterfalls from there. It's always, we always have this little bit of we take probably social media, we take too much out of the comments section in how maybe the entire city or the population or the general idea of how people feel is one thing. And then the outrage on social media is like, you know, a tenth of a percent of that. But it's always fun to go read naive comments in social media. And then to, you know, as long as you take it like that, some people get really fired up. I do once in a while when it's, you know, our leaders in government who are supposed to be, you know, representing the entire population, and they're very just, we're going to take one side. And it's always funny too to see politicians have two Facebook pages, right? They have their politician Facebook page where it's always bipartisan and super fun, and we're going to be bipartisan this and bipartisan that, and look how I work together across the aile. And that, you know, that's a lot of times how they come on and talk on the radio. And then you go to their, what I call their hate page, and then it's just straight up one-sided and calling names and kind of just where we, you know, just get into the gutter of politics. And you'd think that politicians would be better than that, but they're not. And maybe that's something that's changed in the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know, because I didn't really check out political Facebook pages all that much until I had to start talking about it on an everyday basis. And then you got to start paying attention, because that's their opinions, and they're out there. If you can't talk to these people, they don't have time for you to talk, then, you know, what are they saying in social media? And a lot of times it's garbage. Ron Kind, on the other hand, straight up right down the middle all the time. Every once in a while, he'll call out the president for something, but, you know, social media wise, Ron Kind, kind of a boring follow on social media. Always something about farmers, the dairy, save this, save that. It's always kind of, you know, it's the easiest thing to try to save, you know, save the whales, as they say. That's, you know, who's going to argue with that? Save the farms. Who's going to argue with that? 608-785-7914. Joe Jorgensen's going to join me in a couple of minutes. She is the Libertarian presidential candidate. I keep doing that presidential candidate. I add a Joel at the end there. She's a doctor. We can talk about what libertarianism is. maybe get her quick definition. I don't think we want to get too into the weeds on that. And then just talk about, you know, the issues at hand right now, obviously a virus and a racism virus. We kind of have two viruses going around right now. One is, you know, one is affecting us physically. The other one is affecting us mentally and affecting certain people mentally. I wouldn't say it's affecting all of us in a way, but at least now it's been brought to light and we're talking about it, you know, for over a week now. This has become a thing, and how long does that last? So I'm going to break for news. We got Brad doing the news in just a minute here, and hopefully she calls me while we're on break. All right, we'll be back after this. How is it? All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. If you got questions for Libertarian presidential candidate Joe Jorgensen, Dr. Joe, I think maybe that's what we're calling her, 608-785-7914. She's either driving or pulled over in the middle of a hail rainstorm in South Carolina. How are you doing, Dr. Joe?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm going to blame the rain on the Democrats or the Republicans.
We're already passing blame. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I think that's fine with most people, actually. All right, so I was talking to the audience before, and I said, you know, like, let's see what her definition of libertarianism is, and how quickly she can say it without, like, putting us all to sleep. Can you do that?
Oh, gosh. Well, probably the quickest answer is somebody who believes in individual liberty and individual responsibility. But, yeah, that kind of puts you to sleep. So I would say somebody who wants to live and let live.
All right. So, that's perfect. So how do you go about dealing with everything that's going on right now and trying to focus your campaign on one thing or another when, you know, we have a global pandemic, we're in the midst of that, and now we're in the midst of another, what I would call another pandemic in more of a mental way for some people and more of a physical way for people of color. You know, like we're kind of victims of the moment. So we want to talk about race right now. And then, you know, two weeks ago, we wanted to talk about COVID-19. And, you know, but then, of course, there's so many other issues. So is it hard to navigate all that right now?
Well, I mean, the media is definitely giving us whiplash. And it is funny how we were all talking about the coronavirus and how we have to have social distancing, and now all of a sudden we've completely forgotten about that and we've turned somewhere else. But really, the Libertarian Party offers the answer for both situations. In both cases, we've got government that partially caused it and government that got in the way, and they're certainly not doing much to help it.
All right. So what do you think, you know, with everything that's going on, we'll just do the spur of the moment here, the murder of George Floyd and how police have handled that and what, you know, like you were at a, I believe you were at a vigil last night in, were you in South Carolina too last night?
It was the night before. But yes, I just got back from New Hampshire last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So a couple nights ago, you were at essentially a rally or a vigil. I think you put on your Facebook page. And Lacrosse here in Wisconsin, we had a pretty big protest of about 500 people that marched to City Hall. The police chief spoke, the mayor spoke, we had people of color speak to make changes. So do you see any changes that need to be made as at the federal level as a candidate, you know, as a president? What would you do to make some changes?
Oh, absolutely. One of the problems is the Basically, the federal government has been increasing local police power into where they're more like military groups. So we've got the government giving states and local police offices tanks and other paramilitary equipment. They're also giving them training. They're giving them money. And they're having these joint task force, which is really getting in the way of liberty. So, you know, if you think about it, if you're a county or state, some police entity, would you, as a citizen, say, yes, I want to increase taxes so we can buy a tank for our police? I don't think most people would go for that, especially crime is a local thing. Crime is something like burglary, robbery, assault, something like that. we don't need tanks to handle that. But what happens is the federal government takes our money and then buys tanks and so forth and then sends it back to the states. And they say, hey, look, here's something that's free. And, of course, who's going to turn down free stuff? But really, it's not free at all. We paid for it. But that's just one more example of how the federal government will take our money and spend it on stuff we don't want instead of letting us maintain choice, keep choice to choose what we want to spend our money on.
Yeah, I was just going to say the city of La Crosse was donated, had donated it, what's called an MRAP. It's a big, you know, army-looking armored vehicle that, you know, that has been used a couple of times. I couldn't give any specific examples, but, you know, it probably costs a lot to change the oil in that thing.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, where did you, it was given to you or what?
Yeah, it was donated to the city. This was years ago, so I couldn't exactly tell you all the details off the top of my head. So, but yeah, it's a giant armored vehicle.
Yeah, I was just confused by the word donated, because when I hear the word donated, I think of something that's voluntary, where somebody wishes to give you something, as opposed to government taking your money and then spending it for something that you don't want. So, but I'm sure that they put that in those terms to make everything nice.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, and I don't want to get caught up on one thing or the other. We could just kind of make this broad, but like, okay, now let's jump to the other issue at hand, the coronavirus. And, you know, the argument a lot of the times is that the federal government doesn't have like a plan for this, or we've kind of failed as, you know, at the top, and we've left it on cities and states and counties to try to figure this out. Do you agree with that, or would you do anything differently in fighting this virus?
Well, there are two big things that I think Trump did wrong. Is, first of all, he didn't go in and eliminate the efficacy requirement from the FDA. A lot of people don't realize that until 1962, you only had to prove safety to have a drug out on the market. But now they've got an efficacy requirement, which costs a lot of money. And that's why so few new medications are put out on the market, because it costs about $1 billion by the time you jump through all the hoops. So there were about 60 companies, over 60 American companies, making testing kits, but the FDA only approved two of them. And the frustrating thing is, you know, you might wonder, well, where did all the other testing kits go? Did the people go out of business? But no, the other American companies were selling testing kits to other countries around the world. So that's how places like Singapore were able to test so many people, because they were using American ingenuity. So other countries get the benefit and we don't. And the second thing that he did that I disagreed with was at a press conference, he said, do not get tested unless you show symptoms. But at the time, the experts were saying that about 60 to 80% of the people showed no symptoms. So you could have the virus, not know it, and walk around and spread it to everybody else. We should have had early testing in the beginning, so that those who needed to stay home would stay home, and those who had already had it could be out and about, and not destroy the economy in the way there. And this is just the largest assault in liberty that I've seen in my lifetime. The fact that tens of millions of people are out of work, it's just egregious.
We're talking with Dr. Joe Jorgensen, the presidential candidate of the Libertarian Party. In sticking with this pandemic, you talk about getting tests, getting everyone a test. How would a Libertarian candidate deal with, you know, the fact that not everyone can just afford a test, not everyone has health care, even people with health insurance have these deductibles. Are you able to give everybody that wants, a free test, and then the idea of healthcare itself, you know, like if people come down with this virus, a lot of people can't afford to be in the hospital for days and days. I guess, you know, if you want to argue both parties have failed with healthcare, is there a solution to any of this?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest messages I want to spread in my campaign is that we do not have a free market system. I hear politicians repeatedly say, well, the free market isn't working, so let's go to single payer. But no, we haven't had a free market system since about World War II. And if you look at all the different specialties, the two that have the most free market influence would be cosmetic surgeons and LASIK surgeons. And if you look there in those fields, prices have gone down while quality has gone up. And that's because they have to compete for your dollar because your insurance does not pay for it. So you don't just go in and not care about what the price is. You know, if you're going to have LASIK surgery, you check around at maybe two or three different places because you want to save money. But if you're having knee surgery or heart bypass, there's no reason to shop around for prices. In fact, oftentimes you can't. They can't even give you the price. So there's nobody holding down the cost. And if we could have that kind of competition in other specialties, then we would see the price go down. So if we had a true free market, and, you know, keep in mind, I just mentioned how the FDA makes it so that it costs about $1 billion to bring out a drug. If we get rid of that efficacy requirement, then getting testing kits and drugs would be a lot less expensive, so people could afford them.
So are you saying, like, get rid of health insurance and just go straight to the doctor, essentially?
Oh, the opposite. I'm saying we need true insurance for the first time ever. What we have now in healthcare is not true insurance. If you look at your car insurance, that's true insurance. You only, you know, of course, you pay for it every year, every month, however your payment plan is. And then only if you're in an accident or something unexpected does it pay. Now, imagine if car insurance companies paid for gas, oil, car washes, and all of that. You know, how much price shopping would you do if you were going to go fill up your gas tank with gas? You know, you go in, you pay your little $5 deductible. You'd probably go to a nice gas station that, you know, gives you a cup of coffee and a snack while you wait. Because what do you care? You're not paying for it. But we've got the free market in gas stations, so people do shop around for the lowest price. So what we need is we need to have that in healthcare. So if we had, for instance, you know, physical exams or minor things, things that wouldn't cost more than a car repair. If people spent their own dollars instead of insurance dollars, they would shop around. And guess what? The doctors would have to compete, and doctors should have to compete. You know, car dealerships and computer stores, they have to compete for our business. Why shouldn't doctors compete?
Okay, so when you, but comparing cosmetic surgery to, say, heart surgery, where if I don't have it, I'm going to die, you could price that to $1 million, and I'm going to pay it because I don't want to die. So how do you solve that issue?
Well, that's not what the data shows. In fact, Singapore has a pretty good model. And if you look in Singapore, I don't have the figures off the top of my head, but it costs about like $140,000, $130,000 for heart bypass here. And it costs about 75% less in Singapore. And that's because the doctors, in order to get your business, they have to compete. So you call around to the hospitals, you call around to the doctors, and you find what you think is the best, you know, price-quality comparison, just like in a car. You know, car manufacturers can't just raise the prices through the roof. Instead, you look at, here's how much money I have. Now, what's the most car I can get for that?
So what I'm hearing is, you know, before this is solved, if I have to have heart surgery or whatever you just said in Singapore, I need to get a flight to Singapore is what I got to do.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. And it's very customer service oriented, the way the nurses and the hospitals are, because they know that you have a choice. It's only that through the government monopoly system, when we lose choice, that people really don't care about serving us.
Okay, I want to know, Joe, can you stick around? We got to take a quick break. It's going to be a couple-minute break. Can you stick around, or do you have to go?
Absolutely, I can.
Okay, we'll put you on hold here, and then we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right here on Wizzit. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. Sticking around with us is Libertarian presidential candidate Joe Jorgensen. Dr. Joe, I think. What are other nicknames you have, Dr. Joe, that people... The Other Joe, I think that was one of them I heard, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw a really cute meme comparing me to Joe Biden, so that was kind of fun.
And did you grow up in or around Wisconsin or in Chicago? I was looking this up earlier, and I just didn't see it until just now.
Yeah, so I grew up north of Chicago. Ironically, I was born in a city called Libertyville, so that was very fitting. But I grew up in Grays Lake, so we're neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And you said your sister, you mentioned, was it Freeburg? Is that what you said?
Oh, Yeah, well, I don't want to go through my whole family history, but yeah, so I left Northern Illinois to go to school in Texas and ended up in South Carolina.
Okay, well, you mentioned you had family in Wisconsin, which is cool. People know all the cities in Wisconsin, no matter how little I've heard of that. All right, so I wanted to get this out there before you know we run out of time. You're the third party candidate, the quote unquote, in the wasted vote. Another quote. You're going to take away a vote from, I don't know if you're, are you taking more votes away from Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Is there even an answer there?
Well, history shows that we typically take from both sides equally. A lot of people think we take more from the Republicans, but we actually don't. It's about equal. However, we do take more votes from independents or people who haven't voted. So that's where most of our votes come from, people who are so fed up. And if you don't mind, I'd like to mention Trump here because, you know, one of the reasons that all the experts got it wrong and didn't realize that he had a chance to win is that they weren't counting people who had either never voted or hadn't voted in 20 years. So it was a bunch of people who said, we're fed up with the politicians, with the professional politicians. We want an outsider. And then we get Trump, who promises us smaller government, but gives us bigger government. You know, he was supposed to get rid of the deficit, and it's just getting bigger. So I'd like to tell all of the disaffected Trump voters, hey, we offer what you were looking for. And I always distinguish myself from the many fine Republican voters who want smaller government from the politicians who promise it and never deliver.
Yeah, I think Trump's, he had some phrases that were really easy and just kind of, you dumb down politics enough, lock her up and drain the swamp. And he didn't even like either of those. He's even said after he was elected, we're not going to lock her up, whatever. And he said of draining the swamp, he goes, yeah, you guys, I hated it at first and then you guys cheered for it. So I just kept using it, drain the swamp, whatever. And then he totally doesn't drain the swamp. He, you know, whatever, unless your definition, depending on your definition, but adding a bunch of, you know, JP Morgan guys and you know, dudes like that into your, whatever, we can get into that or not, but like, Go ahead.
Can I just mention, I had completely forgotten about that. But yeah, everybody was so excited, lock her up. And then he's like, never mind. So people are like, wait, this isn't what I voted for.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. Do you have some catchy phrases? Lock him up, maybe? Let's just do that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, and let me be clear here. I'm not suggesting Hillary Clinton should have been locked up or should be locked up now. I'm not saying anybody should be locked up. What I'm saying is he gave people the impression that he was going to do that, and then he didn't. So it's just a promise that he didn't fulfill.
Yeah, it's, building a wall, making Mexico. Anyway, we don't have to get into that. But as a third-party candidate, is this the best time to be a third-party candidate or the worst time? Because it seems like the last time would have been a great time to be a third-party candidate. Nobody liked Hillary. The Republicans had so many people and ended up with Trump, who, you know, was kind of a weird outsider. So are we there again, do you think?
Well, again, as I mentioned, a lot of people voted for Trump because they were just fed up with the politicians in office. So it was kind of hard to take votes away from somebody who was well-known, somebody like Trump, who had a TV show for like 14 years. Now, however, there are people who hadn't voted, like I said, in 20 years or ever, who will say, you know what, I am going to vote for something different. So we hope to attract them.
All right. So, there's so many issues, and we could talk about this race thing that we're always in the moment where the race and the coronavirus, and we talked about healthcare, which is great. Also, a big issue is the wealth gap. I don't know how do libertarians kind of help solve that? As we've gone through this pandemic, you can read a lot about how the billionaires made more billions, you know, by investing. I don't have any money to invest, Joe. So when we go through a pandemic and everyone's throwing money into the stock market because they have money to throw around, I'm buying, you know, groceries at the grocery store with my $1,200. So how does a libertarian candidate help solve that wealth gap?
Well, first of all, when you say solve that wealth gap, you know, my question is it a problem? Of course, I don't like opportunists who come in and make money on, tragedies. But let's just look at non-virus times. So let's say that the top 1% makes just a whole bunch more money than everybody else. But the people who make less, they're better off in countries where there is no wealth gap. In other words, would you rather have, you know, billionaires and then poor people making around $20,000 a year? Or would you rather have no wealth gap and have everybody making like $8,000 a year? Because there are some very poor countries. And what we find is that whenever we have progress, whenever we have technology and people working to better their lives, what we have is we have a wealth gap because there are opportunities that some people make that others, you know, either choose not to or whatever.
Oh, the or whatever I would say is they can't. I mean, a lot of these people are living paycheck to paycheck, and that's a problem, is it not?
Oh, yeah. And let's look at what the government has done to that. First of all, if you want to start your own business, if you're on the bottom and, you know, you want to, like, open up a hair salon or whatever out of your house and maybe just work on some friends and family, there are all sorts of licensing laws and restrictions to where you need a lot of money. You got to hire a lawyer, incorporate, whatever. Just learning all the paperwork, just being guided through the paperwork is a lot. And, you know, I have a PhD, and yet I needed a lawyer to set all of my stuff up, and that's expensive. So the government puts obstacles for the poor people to get over. So if we didn't have all of that, then we could have somebody, you know, setting up lawnmower businesses and braiding other people's hair. And what's ironic, and a lot of libertarians have pointed out, especially braiding hair and doing some of those, you know, hair cutting, that oftentimes they are required to go to a school that doesn't even teach them what they're doing. And once again, you know, who's running the schools? Well, it's the people who have been sanctioned by the government. You know, we want people to have a license. So they give their competitors, in other words, people who have been in business for decades, they give them the power to license new people wanting to come into the business. Well, what's wrong with this picture? Of course the poor people can't get a leg up because they've got to compete with other people who have the government on their side. And so, I can talk about charity, too, because some people do need help.
So we just leave the billionaires. I say we need a billionaire salary cap. We just need to cap it at some point. With a lot of candidates who have dropped out now have talked about like a wealth tax. Is that something that's completely ridiculous to a libertarian?
Absolutely. In fact, let me give you a charity example. Let's say you just got an inheritance of like $30,000. Let's say you are okay. You know, you're pretty well off and you don't need the $30,000. So you want to get it to somebody who needs help. And you look around deciding where your money can do the most good. So you might look at a church. You know, churches help people who are downtrodden. Maybe private or public charities. Now, when deciding where to spend your money, would you take your $30,000 and give it to a federal government agency? And when I ask that question, most people laugh, like, of course I'm not going to give it to the government, because they don't do as good of a job as other people. And if I can throw in my United Way story, in the early 90s, the president of United Way spent something like $400,000 on artwork, and people were outraged. They said, hey, we gave you our money to give to the people who need it. We don't want you spending money on artwork. And so donations dried up. They said, you know, we're not giving you our money because we don't want it spent on artwork. And so United Way had to work really hard to win back people's trust and to get them to give their donations back. Okay, so what happens when you give that money to the federal government? Let's say they tax you and they have high overhead. There's no accountability. You can't tell the government, well, you're not doing as good of a job, so I don't want to give you my money. So back to the billionaire gap. Well, if you take billionaires and you give them a big tax, where's the money going to go? It's going to go to the government. And who would voluntarily give their charity dollars to the government?
All right, so how about this? We move a little bit. Climate change is one of those things we used to worry about until there was a pandemic, and some people will argue that climate change helped lead to this pandemic. And in the Trump administration, we're rolling back a lot of regulatory, we're rolling back a lot of regulations, and that's hurting a lot of environmentalists' feelings, or a lot of environmentalist groups that, you know, where it comes to oil pipelines, and you know, you can do anything. There's a copper nickel mine in northern Minnesota that's going. They're fighting to have it put in. It's right on the boundary waters, right near the boundary waters. So if this mine happens to pollute, it's going to ruin this pristine area in northern Minnesota that goes into Canada. It's owned by a foreign company. It's one of them deals where the Obama administration put a halt on it, and the Trump administration is trying to allow it to go through. But where do libertarians stand on stuff like that, environmental regulations?
Well, I can sum it up in one sentence. Nobody washes the rental car before turning it back in. Nobody takes care of other people's property as well as they take care of their own. And so, the mining company comes in. I suppose they're allowed to have runoff into public waterways.
Yeah, I think that's one of the rollbacks we're doing, right? Is that kind of one of the rollbacks that we've had lately?
Exactly. So once again, a private company would want to treat its land well, and they wouldn't allow that. I mean, look at how well, for instance, Disney World takes care of its land compared to government parks. People who have a vested interest will always take better care. And do you mind if I give you an example of which kind of might run along the lines of what you have going on there?
Yeah, I would say real quick. I would say that the land is foreign owned. The boundary waters is a federal, or maybe it's a state park. So it's, you know, and nobody, you have to take reservations to canoe in the area. Only so many people a year can go in there. But the foreign company doesn't care if they pollute the water, because they're not drinking that water. They're just mining the land, and then they're out. They're just billionaires that live in like South America. They don't care about the land.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't care about the land. If they owned the land, then they would care about it. And let me just relate it back to, do you remember the Gulf oil spill?
Yep. The BP oil spill?
Yep. And people said, oh, we need government. You know, government should have kept them out of there. But no, what happened was the government had given them limited liability. So if that had been the free market, the private company would have had to buy insurance in case something went wrong, which would mean that either the insurance company would say, nope, this is too dangerous, you might have an oil spill, or the insurance company might say, okay, we're coming out there every week to double check because we don't want to pay any claims. But instead, they get to just pollute the waters because it's, again, tragedy of the commons, where it's everybody's and nobody's. They don't care if they pollute it because they don't own it.
Yeah, I would say that my point of view is maybe we just get out of the oil business. I don't know. Like, maybe we don't need any oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico, because there could be a spill whether the insurance company is double checking or not.
Well, I'm really big on nuclear energy. If you're an environmentalist, I think you have to go with nuclear energy. But not the old-fashioned government monopoly, but the newer companies that are coming along with advanced nuclear power.
So what about solar, wind, stuff like that, where once it's good, you know, if we invested enough into it where it was, you know, very efficient and the waste was as minimum as possible? I know there's a lot of, you know, the panels themselves, the windmills themselves, the argument is they are waste in and of themselves. I don't know. Where do you stand there?
If they were efficient, if they were a good option, then people would have invested their own money in it to make a killing. If there were a profit to be made, you know that the greedy capitalists would have done it, right? And I say that facetiously. That's the good part about the free market system, which is that the dollars go to the good choices. In other words, if you don't think a system is good enough for you to risk your own money, why should you tax money from other people and spend that money?
I would say
if it's not good enough for you to do it, then you shouldn't force other people to do it.
I would say the greedy capitalist says it's cheaper to run on oil or coal. We already have that infrastructure, so we can just run with it. It's a lot cheaper than trying to start anew with something else. Like nuclear energy, it's probably hard to get going, right?
Well, not anymore. And this is the good news. There are a bunch of other companies coming out with what they call advanced nuclear power or fourth generation. And for instance, I'm sure you've heard of Rolls-Royce, the luxury car company.
Yep.
Even Rolls-Royce is making nuclear reactors, and they're about one-tenth the size of the old one. So if we can just let these companies, again, compete with each other, not have the government say, okay, we're going to pick this company. You know, that would be like we've got Bill Gates, we've got Steve Jobs, we've got IBM, and the government says, okay, Bill Gates, we're going with you. You know, Steve Jobs, just go home. IBM, go home. We don't need you. The reason we have an iPhone, MacBooks and so forth, and Windows on Bill Gates' computers is that Bill Gates and Steve Jobs pretty much hated each other. And they competed against each other to try to get the best product out there. So that's what I want to see in nuclear power. And, you know, with Rolls-Royce, looks like they've got a good product coming up. But if the government just says, okay, we're going with that one, then they don't have a reason to keep up the quality. But if there are other people who are competing for the same business, then they're going to give us the best product they can, or they'll go out of business, as well they should.
We're speaking with Joe Jorgensen, presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. I have a text question, and it kind of revolves around, and I don't know if this is just one of those distractions, but Twitter, and this is really out of left field, Twitter has started to fact check Donald Trump's, some of his tweets. Do you have a problem with them doing that, or do you see that as something that's kind of needed at this point?
Okay, there should not be... I don't think there should ever be laws against stupidity. Twitter and Facebook and all these places, these technology places, they were supposed to give us basically the technology town square where we all get to exchange ideas. And that's not what's happening. They are censoring, and it goes completely against the American spirit. And I hate that they do it, and I think they're stupid for doing that. But again, there shouldn't be a law against being stupid.
Okay. We can leave it at that. That's a pretty good spot to leave. Thanks a lot for joining us. What are we saying? Dr. Joe or the other Joe? I really appreciate your time.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me on Neighbor to the North.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right. That was Dr. Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian president for candidate. I don't think we see all that eye to eye on a lot of issues, but it was an interesting conversation to have. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up after this right here. I'm with him. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. Just a couple minutes left here in the show. I do want to tell you about this thing that Midwest Family is doing right now called Restaurant Rewards. So let me see here. You go to one of the participating restaurants. You ask your server for a free code. You can do this dine-in or to-go. Just get the free code. They'll give you that code. You go to Around River City, punch in the code, and you can win a $20 gift card or $50 in cash. So pretty easy to do. Just here are the participating restaurants. Buzzard Billy's, Flipside Pub and Grill, David Ray's, Dublin Square, Big Boar Barbecue, Baracho's, and that's it. Those are the ones. Buzzard Billy's, Flipside, David Ray's, Dublin, Big Boar, and Baracho's. So you go there, get a code from your server. She or he will put it on a piece of paper, I believe, or put it in your phone. That's what I would do. You're going to lose that piece of paper if you're me. And then go to roundrivercity.com, punch in that code, $20 gift card or $50 in cash. Again, thanks to Joe Jorgensen, Libertarian presidential candidate, for joining. I thought that was a pretty interesting conversation we had. We were all over the place. I didn't want to stick to global pandemic, and I didn't want to stick to, social injustice and police violence. We get caught up in that stuff, and will it be a thing? I feel like the coronavirus is, or not the coronavirus itself, but COVID-19 essentially will be something that we're going to have to worry about until there's a vaccine or at least some treatment. Now, will this social injustice and police violence thing, how long will that continue? You know, it's a lot of the times this stuff peters out. It's been over a week, so it hasn't gone anywhere, right? Like we've done four protests in La Crosse, four in La Crosse. And if you were at the protest last night, you heard some of them people speaking. There were younger kids talking. Some high school kids even got on the mic, which is very impressive because it's, that's intimidating. There were 500 or more people there. I tried to count, but there's so many people. It was really hard to count. So I just guessed 500. It could have been 700 for all I know. And, you know, these high schoolers were getting on the mic. There were, and talking about being called the N-word and at school and trying to, you know, report that. And how does some, do you get in trouble? How do we report that? How do you, you know, is there any repercussions for somebody doing that? And then other people talked about they're at their jobs. They're all in La Crosse here. And people are saying racist stuff to them. Go back to the plantation. I think I heard one person say they, you know, they have people telling them and just really awful things that if you, you know, if you look at these stories get posted on social media and a lot of people are like, we don't have a problem in La Crosse. Well, you don't have a problem in La Crosse, probably because you're white. But if you go and listen to the accounts of people of color, of black people, of Mexicans, of, you know, Native Americans, if you listen to their stories, oh, maybe there is a problem in La Crosse. And is there a problem with police in La Crosse? I haven't been pulled over in a while. And when I do, it's usually pretty respectful. I think I even got off a ticket the last time. So I would encourage you to go to one of these rallies and listen to the accounts of people of color and you know, what the problem is that they have. All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week.